May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be of good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The text of our sermon today is from the book of Daniel in chapter 3, the words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to Nebuchadnezzar. Behold, it is our God whom we serve, who is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. And if not, be it known to thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. This was the answer that was given to Nebuchadnezzar when he threatened to burn the three companions of Daniel for not obeying his evil command. In these words, we can see remarkable trust and courage in the face of death. They had full confidence that God was able to save them from the burning fiery furnace, and they had the courage to face death in the fire rather than break the Lord's commandment. It is this kind of courage which we need to endure the temptations in our lives. Although we may not find ourselves in the same external circumstances as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, although a king of this world does not command us to fall down and worship a statue made of physical gold, still there will be times in our life when we are in the same spiritual situation as these companions of Daniel. For there exist diabolical forces from within us and from outside that correspond to the king and the men of Babylon. Such forces set up in our minds materialistic and self-centered goals and schemes or useless and harmful habits in our life. These can easily become golden images, occupying the center of our attention and the major part of our interest as objects of idolatrous worship. The forces of hell compel us with threats to bow down and serve these images which they have set up in our mind. To resist this pressure, we need the trust and courage which these men of Judah demonstrated before Nebuchadnezzar the king. But such courage and confidence in the Lord does not come to us in a day, nor will it come suddenly in the hour of temptation. There were many other people in the kingdom of Babylon who did not resist, who prostrated themselves before the golden statue. They did not have the courage or belief in the Lord to challenge the order of Nebuchadnezzar. Instead, they obeyed him, either because he was their king or from fear of being cast into the burning fiery furnace. The majority of them were ignorant of who God really was and already worshiped other gods or idols. Nebuchadnezzar's decree was not as much against their religion as it was against the religion of Daniel and his companions. To the Israelites, the worship of a statue of gold would break the very first commandment Yahuwah had given them. Also, this was not the first time Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been tested in their religious faith. In the first chapter of Daniel, we learned how Daniel and his companions refused the Babylonian food and wine and instead ate a food of beans and grain and drank water, thus staying within the law of Moses. This represented the formation of the mind when we learn what is true and confirm this through simple obedience to the Lord. The next chapter of Daniel deals with the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and its interpretation by Daniel. The second state in our spiritual development is the state of self-examination and enlightenment. In this state, we are able to see and acknowledge the interior nature of the love of self, which reigns over much of our natural mind. These two preceding states prepare us for the severe temptations which follow, represented by the story before us, given in the third chapter of Daniel. Through obedience to the laws of the Lord and self-examination in the light of the truth, we are strengthened in our faith in the Lord, and we learn what we must put our trust in, that we must put our trust in Him and not in ourselves. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had passed through these preparatory stages. They had already confirmed themselves in the Lord's commandment by refusing to take the king's food and wine, and they already recognized the true disposition of Nebuchadnezzar when he threatened to destroy them if his dream and its interpretation were not declared. In both these cases, the Lord protected Daniel and his companions. Instead of suffering, they were actually promoted. And so it was that they had such faith in the Lord and such courage to follow his commandment commandments, even if it meant direct confrontation with Nebuchadnezzar and possible death in the burning fiery furnace. From the writings, we learn that Nebuchadnezzar represented the love of self, the love of dominion, which is an inmost desire to dominate everything, the love of being the center of attention, of being better than others, and finally, the desire to become a god. This is the love which lies deeply concealed within the mind of man at birth. Babylon signifies the kingdom of this love, that is, the natural mind before regeneration. But in the beginning, this love does not appear so evil. It even appears sympathetic to the things of the Lord, as Nebuchadnezzar appeared sympathetic to Daniel and his companions when they were growing up in Babylon. But gradually, this love shows itself for what it is, so that we can free ourselves from its control. The Lord has revealed to us in His Word the nature of this love. And these stories of Daniel and his companions in Babylon were given for the purpose of showing us the interior nature of the love of self and the insanities to which this love aspires. In this story, the insanity of the love of self is symbolized by Nebuchadnezzar setting up a statue of gold and commanding all the people, nations, and languages to worship it whenever they heard any kind of music. For music represents our affections and delights, and the love of self seeks to use these to turn us away from the Lord to the work of our own hands. We also read in the Arcana Celestia that a statue of idol of gold represents the worst type of worship, the worship of self, in which evils themselves are confirmed not only in the mind but in the life. This image of gold can arise in our life in many forms. We need to examine what motivates our interests and habits, for the love of self could be the major motivation behind some desire or goal which we find occupying a large portion of our free thought. It could easily be within some habit or pleasure which is taking dominion over the rest of our life. Or it could be setting up within our mind an idea or system of thinking of which we find ourselves extremely proud. Such things may be images constructed by the love of self to be served by all other things in our mind, and if possible, all those around us as well. We need to ask ourselves, what is our end in view? Our own reputation and gain? Our own joy rather than the joy of others? The joy of serving the Lord. This image is said to be made of gold because gold corresponds to the highest good, and the love of self wants this image to appear such. It might even be a project which could benefit many people, or a system which could resolve many problems, or a way of living with comfort and happiness. These things are not evil in themselves, any more than a golden statue need be evil. The ancient church had many such images which enhanced the worship of the Lord. But as they fell from genuine worship, these images became idols. To determine whether something is idolatrous or useful, we need to look at its effect in our life and that of others. Does it lead to the Lord? Does it serve to support genuine good? Or does it become an end in itself and turn us and others away from the Lord and to the worship of what is our own? In examining these things which occupy our life, the goals we have, the pleasures we seek, the ideas we love, we must ask ourselves whether these are idols leading to ourselves, or do they support genuine charity and love to the Lord. The image which Nebuchadnezzar set up in the plain of Dura clearly was idolatrous. Its purpose was to put Nebuchadnezzar himself as the center of all worship. Therefore, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to this image of gold. They acknowledged the true God and obeyed His commandments. And in the first commandment, the Lord said, "Thou shalt not have no other gods before my face. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them, because I, Yahuwah, am thy God." If we follow this commandment, then we will have the strength to resist the mandate to serve other gods or golden images in the place of the Lord. The love of self will set up images in our mind to be worshipped, and we will even try to put ourselves in the position of God. But we can resist and confront these temptations with confidence and courage if we have confirmed the first commandment in our life and accept the teachings of the Lord has revealed to us about the insidious nature of the love of self. The Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." When we love the Lord above all, when He really is our God, then the love of self loses its power over us. Nebuchadnezzar threatened Daniel's companions with the penalty of death in the burning fiery furnace if they did not obey him. He even said to them, "And who is the God who can free you from my hands?" When we challenge the love of self within us and say in our heart and with our actions that we will not fall down and worship the image which it has set up before us, then there follows the appearance that we will lose our very life, or that we will perish in hellfire. For of ourselves we have no life whatever, and of ourselves without the Lord we would indeed perish in the fire of lust. Nevertheless, our trust should not be in ourselves, but in the Lord. And thus we can say to the love of self, to the love which dominates much of our lower mind, "Behold, there is our God, whom we serve, and He can free us, and He will free us from the burning fiery furnace and from thy hand, O King." The new spirit which the Lord implants and creates in us cannot be governed by the love of self, but by the Lord alone. Although the love of self wants to dominate over everything in our mind and is infuriated when it sees its commands go unheeded, still the new man within us, being gradually formed by the Lord, will not submit to this dominion, but is protected by His divine presence. The son of the gods, walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Their trust was in the Lord, not in the confidence in oneself. They could put their faith in the salvation of the Lord. They told Nebuchadnezzar that their God had the power to save them. But they went on to say, "But if not, be it known, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the statue of gold which thou hast set up." Even if the Lord would not save them from the burning fiery furnace, they would still not serve the gods of Nebuchadnezzar or worship the golden image. For their love for the Lord and their obedience to His commandments were so confirmed that they would not obey His law, even if it cost them their lives. They would not disobey the law of the Lord, even if it cost them their lives. In severe temptation, when we confront the love of self, it is necessary that we have this type of courage, that we stay faithful to the Lord and His commandments. We should have the full confidence in the Lord's in the Lord that Daniel's companions showed to the king of Nebuchadnezzar. But if in despair this confidence is shaken and it appears that we might go to hell, even if we do obey, that we have no chance of salvation, still we must have the courage to stay true to the word and face the burning fiery furnace. We cannot make deals with the Lord and say in our heart, "If I do this for you, Lord, then you must do this for me." For then our motive would still be the love of self. No, we must be willing to die for the Lord if needs be, and then and only then can He save us. Such a commitment to the Lord's commandments did not come to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the moment of danger. Since their youth, they had followed the Lord, and His law became their life. For Daniel's companions, it was better to die than to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar and break the commandment of God. This kind of trust and courage can also be given to us through committing our lives to the commandments of the Lord. In so doing, new loves take root in our minds, which will give us the spiritual strength we will need in future temptations. With this new love, we will be willing to face any torment rather than surrender to the love of self and break the Lord's commandments. As the Lord said to His disciples, "If anyone wills to come after me, let him renounce himself and take up his cross and follow me. Because he who wills to save his soul will lose it. And he who loses his soul for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world if he lose his soul?" And now to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one only God of heaven and earth, be glory and dominion forever and ever.